Hello and welcome to Pulse of the Region, brought to you by the Metro Hartford Alliance. The Metro Hartford Alliance is an investor-based economic development partnership focused on business development and growth, retaining jobs, attracting talent, ensuring a strong urban core, and promoting all the great things in our Hartford region. You can learn more about our mission and how to get involved at metrohartford.com. Thank you, as always, for joining us today here on Pulse of the Region. I'm your host, Kate Bauman. Today, we are getting the pulse about employment trends, specifically within the healthcare and human services industry. And I'm lucky to be joined by the Chief Human Resources Officer at the sponsor of our show, who everyone's very well aware of, Oak Hill. So would love to welcome Charisse Sherry to Pulse of the Region. Charisse, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here today.
Of course. No, well, and I was kept prepping you a little before. You are going to be on the hot seat today, diving into a lot of questions, but just think the topic is, you know, so important for not only the human services and healthcare industries, but really a lot of the trends that we're seeing on that side of things kind of go across industry too. So thank you so much for being here to shed some light on things.
Absolutely. And we're very happy to contribute in this area. As you know, there are a lot of issues happening right now with staffing, and I am just happy to just let you know about open positions. So I'm happy to be here on your show.
Of course. No, that's wonderful. And first things first, you know, Charisse, even though many people who have listened week in and week out have an understanding of what Oak Hill is, I'd love if you don't mind giving kind of a high level overview just to kick off the show today.
Yeah, sure. So as many of you know, Oak Hill is the largest private provider of services to people with disabilities in the state of Connecticut. We provide a full range of services to people with disabilities. We help all ages from newborns to seniors, and we have experienced staff who cover the needs of every intellectual, developmental, and physical disability of our clients. We think we set the standard when we partner with people with disabilities to provide services and solutions that promote independence, promote education, health, and dignity. A lot of our services are provided through our adult group homes. We have kid homes, we have a school, and we have Oak Hill Centers. And we're across the state in about 70 different locations between our group homes and our classrooms. And one thing that I'd love to say about working at Oak Hill for me personally is that when working at Oak Hill, you don't just work for one industry. You actually work for nonprofit, human services, education, and mental health and addiction services as well.
In addition, I think, you know, even a lot more too. It's, you know, incredible. I always say whenever I'm able, you know, lucky to have someone from Oak Hill on the show is, every time I talk with you is I learn something new about Oak Hill and something else you guys are doing. So certainly a huge benefit in working there, you know, gives you the opportunity to learn across the board many different things.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing too is, you know, what I've always found, so, you know, I think it's very vital to our region, vital to the state of Connecticut is, you know, Oak Hill employs a lot of people throughout the state of Connecticut. Could you give us share some of the numbers on, you know, just your employment numbers today?
Yeah, so when we are fully staffed, we're usually at about 1,300 employees across the state. And again, we have affiliate companies. One of our affiliate companies is in Middletown. That's Gilead Services. Between Gilead and Oak Hill, we're at 1,600 plus employees. And again, we're statewide. We have locations in Windsor and Waterbury, Hartford, Torrington, New London, the Fairfield County. We have 12 different, we're in 12 different school districts across the state. So you can find us anywhere across the state. We have a location.
You know, in looking at, and you kind of touched on it, where by working at Oak Hill, you do have the opportunity to see different, you know, sectors within the industry is, you know, with, and I believe it's over 120 programs throughout or locations throughout Connecticut. What kind of are some of these areas that people are employed in? You know, if someone's looking for positions, you know, whether in education or other services, would love if you could shine some light there.
So we actually, most of our workforce would be direct care, where we provide services directly in the group home settings, but we also have a school. And within the school, you would find things like clinicians, nurses, teachers, teacher assistants. And again, in the group homes, you would find your direct care workers. We have administrative positions. I mean, we have the gamut of positions. You know, we have a lot of administrative positions on our central office, which is on Holcomb Street. So we have finance, HR, facilities, environmental services. So, I mean, you name it, it's here. And mm-hmm. so we encourage people to click on our positions and click on our job openings and just choose the field that you want to be in. And it's almost guaranteed that you'll find a job that is affiliated with what you're looking for.
Perfect. And while we'll throw in a little tease here is where is the website where all your jobs are posted?
Yes, that's oakhillct.org.
Perfect. Perfect. And now would love to take a step back and kind of look at employment as a whole. And, you know, Charisse, really excited to have you here with us today, who have, you know, a great kind of history in working within different industries, kind of working within the state of Connecticut on the hiring side. And can you give us kind of, would love a state of the state on, you know, where we stand today? Certainly the pandemic has impacted employment significantly. Is, you know, on a high level, we'll start there and then kind of dive a bit deeper, but you know, what has the impact of the pandemic been on employment if we look at healthcare and also within human services?
Yeah, you know, the impact of the pandemic has been severe. We haven't been able to fill our positions, and we have a crisis on our hands. It is the same for healthcare in general, but specifically in human services. There's always been an issue with staffing. That is an industry standard. But one day I was looking at the vacancy report, and we were up to 200 vacancies. I almost fell out of my chair.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, like I said, in this industry, staffing has always been an issue. And as an industry norm, we've found specific interventions to fill positions. And we typically would see somewhere between 60 to 90 openings across the organization. And then at the beginning of the pandemic, we were somewhere around 150. But then it was just like, it just kept, the vacancies kept coming and they wouldn't go away no matter how we hired people. And so I think when you're thinking about how we're working under a global disruption such as the COVID-19 pandemic, the industry issue that was there before is now exacerbated. And quite frankly, as I said, we're now facing a staffing crisis in the industry and in healthcare across the nation.
Definitely. You are not the only person that I've heard this from. And what are some of the factors that you think are leading to this?
Yeah, I think the major factor specifically at Oak Hill and in the human services industry, as well as the healthcare frontline, I think are the wages. The wages for frontline employees and direct care employees is a major issue. And this is how it impacted Oak Hill, okay? So, like I said, more than 75% of all workforce at Oak Hill are considered frontline or direct care employees. They're essential workers, right? They care for clients and students and participants every day. And on a side note, you know, those demographics also are 64% people of color, 74% women. And if you think about socioeconomic status, mm-hmm. maybe 75% of our workforce actually earn less than $50,000 per year.
Oh my goodness.
So you're asking people to do so much and they make so little. Mm-hmm. There has to be a true commitment to the work that they're doing. And many times our employees are committed, but at times they're overworked because they're picking up shifts here and at other places so that they can increase the income that they take home to their families. And so one of the things that I noted at Oak Hill with the pandemic was when the pandemic is surging and we are seeing infections in group homes, we have to implement policies to keep people safe, to minimize the spread of the virus, right? And so sometimes those procedures that we've implemented prevented employees from working overtime. Because if you have a group home and there's a COVID infection in a group home and an employee is assigned to that group home, they can't pick up shifts anywhere else in the organization because we can't risk them moving around and spreading the virus. And we don't realize that it affects the income of the employee if they can't get overtime. And then they have to go look somewhere else for work. So they start looking at other places so that they can find income to support their families. And sometimes they go to places like Amazon or Target where their hearts may not even be into it, but they have to go because they need the income. And right. So that has been one of the ways that COVID has specifically impacted Oak Hill and other industry and other agencies like Oak Hill. And another thing that another factor that came across for us was during the height of COVID, the CARES Act, which was created to support employees and employers, actually increased unemployment benefits. So it potentially discouraged employees from looking for jobs. You know, they can stay home and they can make $600 to stay home. So right. Why wouldn't you? So mm-hmm. during that time, it was difficult for us to attract employees and to get employees to apply for jobs.
It's a lot of factors, not just yeah. one where you can say, hey, here's a way, let's find a solution for this one issue.
Right.
No, that's tough.
And yeah, even, so I was going to say that, fortunately that unemployment relief benefit ended. So now we got to a place where we could host fairs and we could invite people to come apply. And that's where we are now. When that ended, I think people started coming back to work.
Okay, so there's a positive. And, in looking at, the even pre-pandemic, too, one thing I'd love to just reemphasize, too, is there were even some shortages kind of pre-pandemic. So, and now in addition to all these, can you talk a little bit just about kind of some of the trends you saw leading into the pandemic, within human services and even healthcare?
Yeah, so again, there's a network called ANCOR, which is the Network for Human Services and Direct Care Employees. It's a national network. And when you look at their data and their research, they talk about the trends. And the industry norm is that within this field, there's always a staffing shortage. So we entered into the COVID pandemic with that as an issue that has been the trend for many, many years. And so when you think about everyone who is working in those positions and the fact that they need to stay working, they go to different places so that they can get shifts and so that they can make the overtime so that they can take care of their families. And that is the trend that, we just really need to address wages, benefits for our frontline employees and our direct care workers and to be able to move past the issue of staffing in the industry.
Definitely. And, kind of looking, what, in your opinion, could be some solutions to potentially address these issues?
I think, one, advocacy, the funding for wages. And I think a lot of employers also should be focusing on training programs for employees to engage them, retention initiatives, because, again, employees will come to us, but will they stay? What are we giving them so that they can stay with us? Are we giving them the flexibility to earn more? Are we giving them the flexibility to go to school or pay for school if they want to go to school? Do they have career mobility? So the employers really need to start looking at what we can do as employers to retain employees. And it's not always just about money. It's about the climate and the mm-hmm. culture. People will stay if they feel welcomed, if they feel that they can contribute and be a part of. And so training our managers who are the supervisors of the frontline staff to create a culture that is inviting and inclusive is also a strategy that we need to employ to retain employees and to provide them with what they need to work in our positions.
No, very well said. And what are some of the, the things that you're doing at Oak Hill to retain employees? If you could talk about some of the benefits and some of the programs that you offer mm-hmm. for employees.
Yeah. So, right after the unemployment relief benefit ended, and I said we started hosting the job fairs, the first thing that we did was let's do a sign-on bonus. Let's mm-hmm. try to get people to come and see if we can retain them if they stayed with us. So we tried that. We also have employee referral bonuses. So if our employees refer others to work for us, we also incentivize them for that. And we have really good benefits. A lot of employers in the industry, they don't generally provide a good suite of benefits for employees, which is part of the advocacy issue. Okay. But I have to say that proudly at Oak Hill, we offer health and dental. We offer short-term disability, life insurance, vacation time, sick time. Sometimes you don't see these in this industry, right? We have a really good 403B retirement plan where if an employee doesn't even contribute, we still match 5% of the employee's salary. That's something that's almost unheard of.
I was going to say, that is huge, Charisse. Oh, my goodness.
Huge. It's huge. You don't even have to put a dime in and we'll put 5%. So when the employee comes, they actually get their salary. But if you think about it, plus 5%.
Plus 5%, right.
Because their salary is being put away for them. We also celebrate 11 or 12 holidays. We actually just added Juneteenth because,
nice.
Again, when we looked at the demographics of our organization, we're trying to be as inclusive as we can be so that we retain people. And so one of the holidays we committed to was Juneteenth. And we are doing more professional development. We're looking at a tuition reimbursement policy. We just increased what that looks like for all of our union employees and all of our non-union employees. We offer flexible work schedules, again, so that people have the opportunity to work in different places if they need to make more money. And we're beginning to focus specifically on retention initiatives that includes professional development, positioning the employees for career advancement, and just helping the employees to feel that they're in a safe environment.
No, that's great. And certainly quite a list of benefits. And, you know, I always think too is on the intangible side too is it seems, and you talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show, but for employees, there's also just that, you know, hey, to work there, you're helping families, you're helping individuals and, you know, children. So if you could touch a little bit on that, and if, even too, if you have any personal stories that you could share just kind of on that intangible benefit side.
Right. You know, like I said before, there has to be a true commitment to work in this field because what we do is hard work. You know, you're working with clients and you're also working with families, parents on the school side or families for adults with disabilities. And, you know, they have needs. And I've shared before that my brother is autistic and we have really been lucky to have a CCH home, which is a home where the person who has a disability lives with a family. And my brother lives with that family. And I do my best to make sure that the family is happy because they're providing a service to us that is meaningful for me. And they work really hard to do that. So I fight for them. You know, I advocate for wages for them. I advocate for benefits and paid time off because it's hard work to care for someone. And I know that our employees are really committed to the work that they do. We deal with, you know, families who are happy with us or families who are not happy. And we have to be able to manage all of that at all times. So as an employer, we should be taking care of the employees who is providing the service so that they can do it in a way that is meaningful and beneficial for the clients who are receiving the services.
Mm-hmm. No, makes complete sense. And, you know, as we look at all this kind of, if we were to, you know, certainly don't have a crystal ball, but if we were to look ahead, you know, what do you feel that you could kind of see? What are, could some of the changes be going forward? And, you know, maybe something in the near future and then also a longer term future?
I sound like a broken record when I talk about wages, but there's so many factors to consider in order to answer the question regarding changes in the healthcare industry.
True.
Since Oakhill is, since Oakhill is not a hospital or medical facility, I'll answer it from this perspective, right? So in healthcare, whether it be in group homes, nursing homes, congregate settings, hospitals, et cetera, for the most part, the issue of wages and benefits is priority. In order to retain and engage employees, we need to advocate for the frontline employees to get better wages and to support their growth within the organization so that you can minimize turnover. That alone will have a positive impact on the industry. And then there's another thing that I've been thinking about as far as technology. The world is just going in that direction with technology. A lot of our frontline employees, sometimes they are not, you know, they're not tech savvy. Mm-hmm. And we have to be ensuring that programs are in place to keep people abreast of technology, to give them the tools that they need so that there is not a technology gap because they can't access information. They can't access. Sometimes we'll communicate, we'll send things out, and people are not on email. So how do you communicate with a workforce if they are not able to receive your communication? So as we're addressing things that are coming up in the future, we need to think about the population of the people who we're talking about and think of ways to provide them access to the resources that they need to engage in the organization so that they can do their jobs well.
No, that's do this job well. And then hopefully, you know, as they continue to grow in their career too, the next job well, in addition, that's a really, really good point, Charisse. And, you know, on that topic, kind of looking at technology and looking at, you know, new ways to, again, provide benefits to employees, to the organizations, What can we as a business community do? You know, if there's companies even outside of the industry, is there anything that we can do as partners to kind of help support Oak Hill's mission and the mission of other agencies throughout the state?
I love partnerships. And so, you know, business communities, I think, can partner with community organizations to provide workforce development opportunities to enhance professional growth. You can do this, I think, by funding initiatives, providing grants, but also if companies are offering professional development or training at their locations. So if you have like an Aetna or a big company that actually has a training program, you know, if people like Oak Hill or if companies like Oak Hill could participate in those programs at little or no cost, that would also be beneficial for us as nonprofit organizations, if we could participate in training programs or employees can access those training programs. So I say access to training, access to funding, or just having us be a partner as you're creating workforce initiatives so that we can benefit from those as well.
I absolutely love that, Charisse, because it is. I think so many companies here, especially in Greater Hartford, really do want to help make a difference. And sometimes, you know, giving them some ideas is really helpful. So thank you so much for that. And is there anything else you feel just kind of the community on a whole, you know, really does, I think, still keeps going back to, you know, advocating, helping to educate people? Is there anything else that, you know, I may be, you know, kind of leaving out here at this point in time?
No, you said the word advocating. I think, you know, that's one thing. I didn't say that when we were just talking about the business community, but continuing to advocate for frontline and entry-level employees across all areas of healthcare, human services, like I said, group homes everywhere. You know, we should be looking at, or Hartford region, looking at the population of the workers in our region and working with places like Capital Workforce Partners and other the unemployment offices to help bring the tools so that people can be ready to enter the workforce. You know, business communities can partner and create initiatives to do that, I think will be beneficial to all employees. To all citizens, because then when they apply to employers like us, they're ready to go. And a lot of times, you know, some people can't get through applications, or, you know, there are different factors that prevent people from entering the workforce.
Right.
So we should be developing them before they send the first application through so that they can actually be considered.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, do you guys have partnerships either with area colleges and universities or even, you know, public high schools? Are there any partnerships that Oak Hill has?
Yeah, we do have quite a few partnerships. I might not be able to name them off the top of my head, but I know we're working with Charter Oak right now to develop some programs. Goodwin College, we had some conversations with Capital Community College before. On our education department, I'm sure they've reached out to many other colleges. We try to explore things like cohort programs for associate degrees or cohort programs for bachelor's degrees, but funding is always an issue, you know.
Okay.
How we can fund those programs so that employees can tap into those schools is always something that we're thinking about.
Okay. But no, good to know. And certainly I think, you know, hopefully a lot of opportunities there. And, you know, would love, if you don't mind, Charisse, just to share again, where can people go to get more information about your open positions? And also too, hey, if you're working for a company organization who may be able to look at a partnership, where's the best place to go get more information?
So you can certainly find our job postings on Oak Hill, ct.org. That's www.oakhillct.org. And your last question was that, did you ask who should they call if they wanted to partner with us? Is that the question?
Yeah, if you don't mind, if you can share that, that'd be great.
They can call me or Brittany, who is actually our development department, Brittany Harowitz. So either the HR department or the development department at Oak Hill. We would be happy to talk to anyone who would like to partner with us.
Okay, fantastic. No, that's great. And Charisse, anything, again, that I'm kind of have left out today in today's conversation?
I always say whenever I have these interviews, I love living and working in Hartford. I'm a Hartford girl. The last time I interviewed with you guys, I said, I'm a Hartford girl, and I still truly believe it. You know, I love the city. I love the region. We're perfectly located and just easy access to Boston, Mass, New York, Rhode Island. And you know, there's so much here. It's such a great place to play and raise a family. And I just would love to see a workforce developed to really access all of the jobs that are available in this area.
Certainly. No, that's wonderful. And Charisse, it's like you read my mind, because I was going to say the last question, I was going to put you on the spot on what do you love most about living or working here? So I don't know if I can get even a little bit more specific, if there's anything, even just on a lifestyle side, something that maybe someone who isn't as familiar with the region would be unaware of, and it could be a great reason for them to come visit. Anything that comes top of mind?
Yeah, I'm sorry that I jumped the gun with that. But
no,
yes,
that was great. I loved it. It was perfect.
I know, it worked out. Hyphen is a hub, and you know, you can enjoy the city life as well as just get to the suburbs quickly if you choose to. And you know, there are a lot of museums and arts, comedy, good food. And again, like I said, I'm a Hartford girl, so I like the food trucks and I love the local things that are happening around here. But you know, that's not just it. There's the amphitheater. There's a boatyard close by. You can find hiking trails. If you have a boat and you want to go out, you can go, you know, to the shoreline. You can go skiing 2 hours away. So there's in the summertime, the Summerfest and the food trucks are amazing. So, you know, I think it's a great place to be. And like I said, it's a great place to play and raise a family.
Charisse, careful. We're going to, I think, have to sign you up and create a promotional video for the region.
I'll do it.
I love it. That's where I'm like, I love the energy, the excitement. So absolutely incredible. And thank you so much for the time today. I think, you know, really
You're
was
welcome.
Able to, again, glad we could dive in deep just to showcase state of the state, where are we at currently for today for employment and what are our options going forward. So really appreciate your insight and really your ideas, too, because I think that's really what's going to help us make change going forward.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Perfect. No, so pleasure was all mine. And just one last time is where can people go to get more information about job postings and other information about Oak Hill?
Yes, please check us out at www.oakhillct.org.
Perfect. Well, Charisse, thank you so much. And a special thank you to Oak Hill, who's always a huge supporter of Pulse of the Region, sponsor of our show. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening today. For all the show details and more, please visit metrohartford.com. I'm Kate Bauman. Go out and make today a good day in Connecticut.